You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. My name is James Kademan, and let's see here, we're locally underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. I was getting sidetracked there. Today, we're welcoming slash preparing to learn from Shane Whalen, the owner of Carrying the Fire, Pet Containment, as well as Pet Bitter. So Shane, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, James. Thanks for having me.
Shane, you got a lot going on, and I love seeing that. I don't know any entrepreneur that doesn't have multiple ideas, so it's great to see that you've rode the rocket on some of those.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, it's funny. Some people, you know, boredom is a really cancerous thing, and it can get easy to get stuck in that. So I think the more things you're juggling and trying to work on it, you know, you get into a flow state and really put yourself on a trajectory.
Yeah, very fair. Very fair. So let's start with Pet Containment. You said that's how you essentially started. That's the first business that you started with. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I took a break from school to come home and make some money. Got hired at a really big invisible fence company. And it was, you know, as someone who always threw themselves into sports and music and everything I did as a kid, I never had a job that I did that at. And, you know, it was this first job, you know, in my early 20s where I was in love with the work. I was making good money. I was like throwing myself into it. And it just got to be a place where it just got to, you know, you kind of got sucked on the whirlpool of toxicity. And all of a sudden it was like, I can't stay here. And it happened quick. And so I didn't know I could be an entrepreneur or do anything. And so I had made a lot of money. I took like a month off, started getting encouragement from the right people. And, you know, I started my own LLC, you know, and
nice.
Yeah.
And that's, you're essentially installing invisible fences. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Wired in fences, you know, me driving out with my pickup truck and a shovel, passing out, you know, entire 12-hour days of just putting flyers in mailboxes and hand flyers up. And even though it was like mindless grind work, it was like, you know, this is it, you know, this is what you're doing. And nice. So that's where I got my start.
All right. And what year is that?
So the second half of 2014, winter hit here in Michigan, basically had 3 months off. I regrouped, recalibrated. I made 14 grand in revenue. I mean, nothing.
All right.
So regrouped, recalibrated, got a website, started marketing that website, and things just took off.
All right.
I all of a sudden had a van. I had a trencher. I paid off all my student business loans, and I was on top of the world. You know, I was making great money. And so that first full year, I had a six-figure year. But what I found out the following year was when someone comes along and makes a six-figure dent in a tiny niche market, all of a sudden you're on all of your competitors' radar. And it's not like the type of industry like window washing or carpet cleaning where you can do those things three or four times a year, right? It's a one-time service. And so all of a sudden I was on all my competitors' radar because I'm taking jobs. And so things going into year two, things went from being really awesome to really not awesome.
Oh,
people just started being kind of weird to me. Yeah. People just started being weird to me. You know, started asking me, you know, are you the guy that, you know, weird things? Are you, you're the guy that, you know, works out of his parents' basement or, you know, stupid stuff that's not even worth bringing up because it was just out there.
All right.
And it slowly, what's that?
So you were essentially being bad mouthed by your competitors?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't know. I just thought, you know, hey, I mean, do I smell or something? Like I was always really presentable, got car washed. I always show up in a nice van, nice, you know, polo, professional polo. And things just got really weird. And then all of a sudden, one day someone said to me, they said, hey, such and such company said this about you. Is this true? And it was like, boom, there it is. And then like the following week, I actually had a bad review from a competitor. And So that was how I really got my start, you know, in going down a really unique path of like crazy town.
Yeah.
And so, it was the, I mean, there'd be days I'd come home and I was like, man, I did not sign up for this. I thought of myself as just being really resilient and I can take this, you know, just take it on the chin and it just slow, you know, all of a sudden you start thinking like, oh, maybe I did kick Mrs. Jones' puppy. Maybe I did take a deposit and I don't remember it and didn't show up. Like, and it'll slowly wear at you. And so I got really, really good at just cutting through the noise with Mrs. Jones, sitting down with her and slowly turning it around so she could see things for exactly what they were.
All right.
And so I went from being an owner operator to having a full fledged company and just dominating my market.
Nice. That's very cool. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Your story reminds me of when I first started my printer repair company. I used to joke with people that I think it'd be safer to sell crack than it would be to fix printers because it was such a cutthroat industry.
Really?
Yeah. It was just, yeah, that's, I didn't know that when I got into it. But it was dirty. It was a very dirty business. So, really, and I imagine it's like you're saying, there's a lot of boats in that small lake and they're all going for the same fish essentially.
And the difference between a 25-year-old in year one or year two versus, you know, men in their 50s who have been doing this for years. I mean, you know, there's levels. And so they could just work it, you know, to actively sow doubt about me and my customers' minds. And,
yeah.
You know, some people would treat me like I was a loser, like I was just pathetic. Oh. Other people would treat me like I was, like there's something darker. You know, you really don't know who's in your yard. You don't know if they have are dangerous or, you know, just, and so it was always one of those two things. And so, so I got really good at just cutting through the noise and just winning jobs, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. So the competitors that you had, were the majority of them franchises, or were they?
Yes.
Essentially a guy in his van.
Yep. I was the only independent invisible or pet fence companies. There's maybe 50 of us in the nation. Everyone's a franchise. So
really?
So I couldn't live off that name brand. I had to start my own and live off of that. And I think, you know, people get dependent upon that crutch.
Right.
And it ends up just being weakness, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, our manufacturer says this and this and this, and we have this many blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't need to say that. I can just get, you know, and so it's that daily experience that will really stretch you.
Mm-hmm. So how did you distinguish yourselves from, or yourself, yourselves when you had employees and before, when you first started, how did you distinguish yourself from your competitors? Because in the end, we're talking about a wire in the ground, a little remote on your dog.
Yeah, I mean, in reality, it's all a commodity. We all did the same thing, you know, but I was obsessed with the customer experience.
Okay.
Right. I was obsessed with how, you know, there were certain competitors, we literally did the same exact thing, but we were double the price because the way it felt to do business with us was just significantly different from them. Right.
I love it. Service quality and price, right? Pick two.
Yeah. And so it was our customer experience. I told our guys, you want to be the warm, fuzzy blanket, right? Mm-hmm. And I hated to hard sell. I hated to talk about our reviews. We were 5 stars across the board all over. Mm-hmm. I hated to talk about our awards. If they want to pin me in the corner, yes, we are this. But I hated doing that. I wanted to get the job. And I made it my mission that my competitors' names and the names of their business would never leave my lips. Cause a lot of times we want to talk about ourselves. We want to talk about us and why we're this and why we're this. But if you focus on your customer, you put your fingertips on the pulse of the room.
Mm-hmm.
You remember their dog's name, you know, about their particular breed and a cool, interesting fact. And they just moved in from, you know, out of town and they've got whatever it is. And you can come in and meet a need, be the warm, fuzzy blanket. I mean, you get the prices you want. You'll get the reviews you want. You'll get the referrals you want. You'll get free concert tickets. You'll get whatever. You'll get, you know, $200, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You create allies in the marketplace that will defend you or you know, work for you, right?
Oh, I love that. That's fantastic. Yeah. Where you understand that service. Service is a big thing, right?
I wouldn't even say the service. So our guys were highly incentivized on customer feedback.
Oh.
I don't know if you've ever heard of the technical perfection deception.
I have not.
So we're like, I have friends who are window washers and they know about the pH levels in the soap and they know about all the, and you need to be professionally competent, right? But it's the experience. It's how you make your customers feel. And when you end the job well, when you end the experience well, leave your customers floating. Our go backs went down, our callbacks went down, and our guys they had to do a good job, obviously, mm-hmm. but they were incentivized on customer feedback. And so I used to tell our guys, we want to be like a good song. They might not know the words of the lyric. They just like the way the song makes them feel. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that was what we were all about.
I love that analogy. Like a good song. I got to write that down.
Yeah.
That's genius. Yeah. That is genius.
Yeah.
So at what point you have a pet bidder? So at what point did pet bidder come around?
There's a window washing company, or I'm sorry, a window washing software called ResponsiBid. And so I saw that and was like, oh, you know, maybe we could use that. You know, I wonder if they could do, you know, something for my industry, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, but I was so in the trenches, right? I was so like, I think at that point I had 5 or 6 bad reviews from competitors, not from, and so, and it was just, and I needed, even though we were doing well, I'm like, I need to do something. And so I went to them, I go, I want you guys to build this for me and only for me. And they said, no. I'm like, pretty please. I said, no, I'm like, please. And they said, and I somehow finagled my way into a meeting with the owner, and me and him hit it off. And basically we worked out a deal to where I would have my own pet fencing software that I could own and do whatever I want with and own and be able to offer to the rest of the pet world. And yeah. So not just pet fencing, but, and so it was a highly unique situation, you know, of where, yeah, just very, very, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars investment, but it became a side business, you know, of where great passive income, you know, and it's definitely had its hurdles and ups and downs, but very, very exciting stuff and very interesting and fun. And it opened up a whole new world.
That's awesome. So, yeah. So when did when did you first talk to them, and when did it actually get implemented so that other pet fencing, pet grooming places could jump on there?
Oh gosh. It maybe took 6 months to build out modules and all that.
That's not bad at all.
But yeah. Well, like I said, the foundation of the software was built. And to say I developed it, you're kind of cutting out, but to say I developed it, I mean, these developers are quantum mechanics, you know, like it's the layers of code are so deep and so whatever. And so, that's the software is kind of on the back burner. I'm really pursuing, you know, the consulting and stuff, but it's a great product. It's a great service, and was able to build out a small team, a huge investment, but yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So let's talk about carrying the fire. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, you know, I would see friends and people, you know, in the public eye who would be dealing with people talking, you know, anyone with an internet connection can get on and say or regurgitate, you know, whatever they want, mm-hmm. Can damage your business, damage your livelihood, damage your mind. Mm-hmm. And so I had been through that in a very deep, real way. And when I made it out the other side, it was like, there's no going back. Like I made it through this, you know, and it was like, oh, it was so empowering for me. And so I would see friends or other people, and I'd be like, gosh, they did this. Gosh, they did. If they would just do A, B, and C, boom, they'd be through it. And so I started just reaching out to people, you know, and then I got encouraged by some people like, dude, you got to write something. You got to write this down. And because for years I had always journaled, I'd written things down. I'm really into history and stuff like that. And so I got encouraged by the right people, like, you got to write this down. And so I have all these historical examples and obscure movie clips that was like, oh gosh, if you just, sometimes it's the smallest piece of information that mm-hmm. if you just implement it, you just understand it, it changes everything, right? Mm-hmm. It changes everything overnight.
Yeah.
And so I get really passionate about just helping people,
That's awesome. So is it, would you consider it coaching or would you consider it leadership, or I guess, how would you describe it?
I would call it consulting. It's okay. It's one-on-one. I think coaching is such a saturated weird thing. It's, yeah, it's all in, very involved. What's the details of it? How can we navigate this? Mm-hmm. And sometimes just reframing your mind a little bit can put you on a completely different trajectory, completely different path.
All right.
And yeah, so nice. That's what I've been.
So one of the things you mentioned here says how to consistently stand out from your competitors, how to create raving fans in your marketplace. Let's tackle those two things just as a quick, I guess, for the listeners and the viewers here at home that are figuring out, hey, how do I create raving fans? Because a lot of people are good at what they do. You know, let's say they're good installing the invisible fence, but customer service, in my experience, is sometimes a lost art. Not always, but a lot of times. They don't know how.
Yeah. And like I said, the technical deception, I used to be that guy who, like, I was so deep in on like the job, like how it was done. I was an artisan. I was a perfectionist. Mm-hmm. And when I could, and obviously you got to serve your customer, service is everything, right? It is how I would do the job. But I think to stand out to me, to, you know, you want to be that good song. And I think to me, to be, if nothing else, be different, be that warm, fuzzy blanket. Don't be the person talking about yourself all the time. We are bombarded by noise all day, every day. Everyone's getting louder and louder to stand out, to get the job, whatever. If you can be the opposite of that. They don't quite understand it. They don't quite know what it is, but mm-hmm. they like it and they'll pay for it.
Well, that's cool. That's very cool. You also mentioned how to embrace your authentic DNA and win. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So a lot of times we're trying to be somebody. Like I said, we're hard selling. We're talking about our reviews. We're talking about our awards, but weakness is no sin, right? If you can be authentic, hey, our guys are running 2 hours late. They had a flat tire. That's what happened, Mrs. Jones. Hey, yeah, you called to get your thing serviced. Well, here's what happened. I was late to this podcast. Yeah, I was up. If you can be real and authentic, people get a glimpse into a real person, a mm-hmm. real story. And when mm-hmm. you're living, when you can get who you are and the perception of you in alignment with each other, mm-hmm. then you're walking in truth. You're walking your authentic path and you don't have to put up a front or whatever. And yeah. you can walk in power. And so that's when you can stand out and you just stand out in the crowd, right?
Nice.
I love the quote, the loudest one in the room is the weakest one in the room. And if you can understand that, you can understand anything.
Ironically common, right? As we're talking on a podcast here. But
what's that?
It's kind of ironic because we're talking on a podcast, but I understand what you're saying. We've all been in that room where the person's that's doing all the talking is not.
No. You get what I mean. Like the person thumping their chest, mm-hmm. and so it's the person that's the quiet, person that stands out, right? It's, mm-hmm. You draw people in. You're creating, you ever see like a good movie trailer?
Yeah.
Where you're like, man, when that movie comes, when Top Gun 2 comes out, life will be great. You know, there's something
right.
about
finally,
anticipation.
Right.
Like, wow, what? Yeah, seriously. but like, you're creating anticipation. Like, wow, and the other thing I used to tell our guys, like it's like a good barbecue. Like you want to be at the backyard barbecue of the neighborhood, right? When mm-hmm. you're holding court and it just feels good to be around, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
So that's what cool. we tell our guys.
I love it. I love it. You wrote a book as well.
Right. So yeah. So I started doing the consulting. Mm-hmm. And so, I got really encouraged, like, you got to write this down, have some. And so the way it's written, it's not super long. I'm always obsessed about quality over quantity, but the way it's written, there's QR codes on it. So there'll be like a quick little blurb. And then you have access to a YouTube clip that's like, oh, okay, I get it. Here's a perfect example of the loudest one in the room is the weakest one in the room. Where it's like, oh, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be smarty pants. I don't want to be, remember in Sandlot, like you play ball like a girl. Like, okay,
yeah, right?
Here's how you don't be that guy. Here's how mm-hmm. you be, you know, so sometimes just having a little blurb and then an example of that is like, oh, I get it, you know, because stories are powerful. That's how we learn, you know, and that's what keeps our interest.
Yeah. That's clever to have a little blurb and then a little QR code in the book. That's a cool idea.
So it works on mobile and then it works on a physical book. So nice. But the ebook version is cool because you can just click it and it just goes.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So you've been through some challenges, some ups and downs. What have been some of the biggest challenges that you've gone through that you did not expect?
I mean, I didn't know I was like going to go through like hell and back, you know, and even our marketing guy at the time was like, Shane, I've been doing this for 30 years. Cause we were getting cease and desist letters. My AdWords were getting hacked. Like it was insane. Like there's actual software out there that prevents fraudulent clicks. Cause that's a thing. They bypass the fraudulent clicks thing, the fraudulent click software, and can still eat up our budget, you know, on a daily basis.
Wow.
I did not think I was going to get into the craziest industry of all time. And it really ended up being a blessing in disguise. And now I'm just on a much bigger trajectory, a much bigger path. And, you know, the people I get to work with now are like legit, you know, household names. And it's like, you got to stay in the fire. And I tell people now, I went to hell and back, so you don't have to.
That's awesome. So do you still have your original business or is that sold or off running somewhere else?
Yeah.
You
do still runs it? Itself pretty much. So, and then the software, you know, the beautiful thing about the software is once someone signs up, I mean, and they're onboarded and they know all their stuff, like they don't need a lot, you know, they pay and they go to work and use their software. So,
yeah. So as long as it works for them, there's no issue. I love
there you
it.
Go.
That's cool. It's always interesting to me. When you meet consultants or coaches or whatever they want to call themselves, gurus of some kind, that do not do what they don't practice necessarily what they preach because they don't have a means to. They have a coaching business, but they don't have any other business or something like that. So I think it's awesome that you have your own businesses, plural. Which
I get what you mean. Like a coach who doesn't have a business, right?
Yeah. It's common. Yeah.
The term coach makes me cringe, you know. To me, like working one-on-one, you know, behind the scenes that's where I can shine. And like I said, sometimes it's the smallest piece of information. If you flip it and look at your situation a different way, it's like, oh, wow, that problem's not even a problem. I thought it was. And you put yourself on just a different trajectory. You know, problems aren't problems anymore. And you can breathe easier. You can focus on things that truly matter. You know, you can focus on your family and your business and, you know, things that are truly relevant, because most things are just truly not relevant. They're just noise.
Right. Well, if we don't have a problem, we'll certainly create one. That's just how it works, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about growing your original business, the pet containment, with employees, because that had to be a big challenge.
Yeah, it was really difficult because it's not like window washing where you can train a guy in a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
So my main guy, I mean, you got to know how to work a trencher and know how to train a dog and know how to do inside work. And so, you know, he was a huge investment of time. And once I worked with him, then he could help train another guy and then another guy. And so, but, you know, I think the way you live every day, you know, if you've ever seen a bad organization, it starts at the top and it works its way down. Mm-hmm. If I'm not living the right way and maybe being lazy and I don't have to go into the office, that's felt, you know, you can't hide that. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing the right things behind the scenes, living the right way, that permeates its way into the people around you. Right.
Nice.
You can't lead others if you can't lead yourself.
No. So very true. So very true. Yeah. I can remember the first employee that I hired. I thought it was going to be the easiest thing in the world. Just hire this person, pay them some money. They show up, they do the job, rinse, repeat, no big deal. But then people are people and they need, sometimes they need little coddlings, definitely some leadership. And they want to know that you are doing what you can to make their job either easier or more fulfilling.
Yeah. And then sometimes you get a cancerous employee.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think one mistake is I'm really relational. So I would really pour into people, talk to them and And I realized I can't be cool Uncle Shane with every single employee.
Right.
And so, and there are some cantrous employees that, you know, I really was like, all right, I'm believing in you. I believe in your potential. I love to believe in people's potential. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, you end up getting screwed every which way. And it's like, gosh, I should have just cut that person loose so long ago. Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
When you have a steady supply of resumes, oh, you need a steady supply of resumes because it'll make life a lot easier just to cut, you know.
Yeah.
Trevor.
Cut out the cancer. Yeah.
Cut out the cancer.
Yeah. It's interesting the kind of internal dialogue that you have, or even sometimes external with other business owners that you know, trying to figure out how you can work with this employee. And one of the people that I sold a business to, he said, there's no projects. You never hire someone that you feel that you have to fix. Train, yes, but fix, no. He had this whole no projects rule. And it was interesting because sometimes you don't necessarily realize that an employee is a project until they're working for you. They don't tell you that in the interview. And then you just got to suck it up. It helps me to do the math to figure out how much they're costing me and my, like, the opportunity cost.
Yeah.
Then the conversation is a lot easier.
Yeah, no, and I would just pour into people, and it was like, you know, I can deal with sarcasm and I have thick skin. And friend was like, oh my gosh, I should have canned you so long ago. Like, I have so many resumes here. Like, I can put up with a lot, but dude, you're out. Like,
yeah,
you know, just the having a steady supply, you know, I think sales and marketing, that's, you know, foundation one. Mm-hmm. But after that, get some resumes coming in.
You know? Yeah. So tell me how you marketed your business when you first started. Cause that had to be a challenge.
BNI. I was big.
Oh, sure. BNI. Yeah.
Yep. You know, like I said, this is my pickup truck and my shovel early on. But when I got my website, I was big into SEO.
All right.
And I could only do AdWords for so long because, like I said, it became a problem with
the sure. Yeah.
But after that, it was all SEO. I just ranked really, really well on all my keywords.
All right.
And then we had that was our bread and butter was our SEO.
Okay.
And then we had a really good referral system where we would take a picture of the dog, put it on a postcard and send it to him. And so we would, you know, we'd send him a thank you card. And then a couple of weeks after that, you know, hey, Mrs. Jones, just so you know, we're a small family-owned business. We hope Fluffy's doing well. But hey, if you know anyone who could use our services, send them our way. And so that our referral game was through the roof, you know. And referrals are the best types of customers to have.
Yeah.
You know, there's no customer acquisition fee. You can charge your own prices. And so, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I love it. What have been some of the things that worked out really well, the successes that you had that you didn't necessarily expect?
You know, I think all the hardship, you know, the daily repetition of just crappy appointments, crappy people, when you are in the presence of, you know, a big name or someone of real recognition, you can hang, right? You can hang and you create more opportunity. You can provide value. Mm-hmm. You can stick out and just put yourself in a completely different path, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, of all the skills someone can learn, having some social skills, working on your social skills, everyone is smart. Everyone is talented. Go to your at something. But if they can figure out a way to get along and be able to talk in a room, like, then you can sharpen and hone that talent and actually do something with it. So I think just staying in the fire with people in that daily experience, you know, experience so much that you work on your social skills. You know, it's the most underrated thing someone could work on.
Oh, the quality of your communications, the quality of your life.
Yeah. So,
yeah, definitely. Was it tough to find employees that had social skills that could talk to customers and work with the dog? And still run the, I want to say Ditch Witch, but the cable puller, all that kind of stuff.
Right. You know, everyone's a work in progress. So I think my first, you know, real employee crew leader, you know, he was a leader. He was a natural leader.
Nice.
And he didn't have to be a social butterfly, but he knew and understood people. And so, you know, you're kind of cut.
Yeah, out. You are too. I don't know what's going on. Sorry. I'm here. Yeah. Okay. I don't know who's in it. Is that so, yeah, mine or yours? But yeah,
like sorry. I said, it starts at the top and works its way down. If I could have a bad day or a bad week and they would feel that, and our customers would feel that. So mm-hmm. you got to be on your toes. You know, it's really easy to just get soft, let your mind get soft. Mm-hmm. So you got to be doing stuff every day to stay sharp.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. I love yep. it. Well, Shane, are those, you had so much going on. I want to, did I miss anything?
No, man.
That's
no, a lot. It's a lot
that is a lot.
Where we're can all people over the place, I feel like.
Yeah, that's just how my brain works. It's all good. The entrepreneurial mind, you're just constantly
no,
boom,
no.
boom, boom. Tell me.
No, I'm doing the same. We're talking, about social skills and then consulting. I love this stuff.
It's good stuff. Tell me, where can people find your book?
I'm sorry, you're cutting out. You're cutting out.
Oh, no worries. No worries. You are
so go to carryingthefire.com/ebook. It's 50. Yeah, it's carryingthefire.com/ebook. It's $50. If you hate it, we'll give you your money back. But man, there's some nuggets in there that are game changing. So
nice.
I would definitely check it out.
I love it. And then as far as Carrying the Fire, where can people find you there?
CarryingTheFire44@gmail.com. That's my email. We don't have a sales page for consulting. It's very personalized, high-end one-on-one. So no website sure. for that, but that's, I would check out the ebook. And if you really need help, then we can talk consulting.
All right. And then the pet containment, how do they get a hold of you there?
Oh, well, yeah. If you're in Michigan and you need an invisible fence, go to undergroundfencemichigan.com.
Awesome. Oh, I love that domain name. That's sweet. And then petbitter.com. Easy enough. And yep. Petbitter, just as a reminder for the people listening, that is essentially software for the other companies that do underground fencing, pet grooming,
dog training, like I'm missing. Dog training, pet waste pickup. If you need a sales system for your pet company, that's your software.
Gotcha. Awesome. I love it, Shane.
All right, my brother. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Hey, yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggles, stories, and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We are underwritten locally by the Bank of Sun Prairie. If you're listening or watching this on the web, you could do us a huge favor. Subscribe, give a thumbs up, comment, and of course, share it with your entrepreneurial friends. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com. As well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com. And of course, the Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur and all of us, available wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Shane Whalen, owner of Carrying the Fire, Pet Containment, and Pet Bitter. Shane, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, James. Love to do it again down the road.
Absolutely. It'd be great to see where you're at in another 5 years or even 2-3 years, man. You got so much going on.
I appreciate it, brother. I'll talk to you.
Yep. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link. Found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.